It's Dave's desire in this next sermon series that we look at ourselves as a people, as a church, and as a nation as to where we came from. Benjamin Rush sat next to John Adams during the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, in which 56 men proposed to take on the most powerful nation in the world. And while sitting there, Rush leaned over to Adams and asked this question. He said, "John, do you think we can really win this conflict?" Adams' reply was this: "Yes, if we repent of our sins and rely on God." I have to admit, in writing this sermon, this is probably one of the most emotional sermons I've ever written. I have been brought with a ray of emotions from rage to anger to sadness to despair and in the end to hope. And today it's my desire that most of the stuff that I share with you is stuff other people said, and I'm just repeating. But I think it is impeccable that we look at this and look at the condition of our lives, of our communities, of our states, and of our countries. There are many people in high places across America who intend on changing public policy and who contend that America was not founded on Christian principles or by Christian people. And I, for one, beg to differ. It is my belief and my understanding from the things I've read from these men that that's contrary to what's being said. Just listen to a couple of quotes, and I read thousands, and there's just not enough time to share them all today. Patrick Henry, the first governor of Virginia and a member of the Continental Congress, wrote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." George Washington wrote these words, It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to employ His protection and favor." And John Adams, who I quoted earlier, said this: "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." There's just a few things I want to look at this morning. First of all, we need to understand that we are one nation under God, and God did birth this nation. And it goes back even before the founding fathers. I believe that there are two nations that were deliberately established by God. The first was the Jewish nation, as God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and He said, "I'm going to make you a great nation, and you will have descendants that will be as many as the stars in the skies and the sands in the seas, along the seas." And the second country is the one that we live in today. And part of what I believe is that God established this country because He knew that in a free society, in a liberated, with liberty and freedom, that Christianity could prevail. And that Christianity with civil government could work if its people believed it. I think God had people move long before our founding fathers. You can go back and you can find references of God in our early documents. The Jamestown Charter of 1607 said part of its purpose was for propagating the Christian religion. The Mayflower Contract or compact, which was written before the pilgrims got to this country, said that the reason for the compact was having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of Christian faith. And before those pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock and came ashore, they developed another charter that said this. In the Plymouth Charter, it was to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. The Declaration of Independence have references to God. The Delaware Charter said no to further propagate the Holy Gospel. Creator is referenced in our Constitution. John Adams said this, as one of the authors of the Constitution said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is holy and adequate to govern any other. And when this country decides it no longer wants to be holy and pleasing to God, the government and we will not get along. And we can look right now at what's going on all across America, and we can see this very thing, that because there are Christian people and we have a government that was founded by God, since there are those that believe it's inadequate, there is huge conflict. If you go back and look at some of our other documents, there are preambles in 30 states that reference Almighty God. 8 others reference God. 4 more represents the supreme ruler of the universe. The 10 commandments, which cannot be displayed, can be displayed in many places, in courthouses and other places across America, are etched and engraved in stone on the United States Supreme Court. Anybody that wants to tell me that it's not there is either blind or just can't read very well. It influenced not only our documents, but it influenced our forefathers and our founding fathers. July 4, 1776, the signers of the Declaration of Independence stated a belief in a creator God. Some, yes, were deists. Some of them were kind of creationists. They had drifted away from Orthodox Christianity, but all delegates believed in a supreme God. In 1787, 55 delegates met in Philadelphia to debate the foundation of the document of the newly formed United States. All 55 believed in a creator. 27 of the 56 signees of the Declaration of Independence went to Bible seminaries and graduated. Reverend John Witherspoon oversaw the printing of the Bible that was instituted by Congress 1782. Benjamin Rush, as we've already talked about and said, founded the first Bible Society of America, but that wasn't the only one. The signers of the Declaration of Independence founded 121 more Bible societies in an 8-year period after that. Don't tell me that this country was not founded on godly principles. Don't tell me that the forefathers were not men who were led by God. Yes, they made mistakes like us all, but our nation is clearly was founded, overwhelmingly influenced our founding fathers, our documents, and the establishment of this country, and that Christian ethics and moral codes were accepted as a rule of order. God birthed this country, and God's blessed this country. We've been one nation under God, and God has blessed this country. George Washington said this, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly employ His protection and favor," as I read earlier. He understood that we need to continue to acknowledge Almighty God, and He would continue to bless this country, and I believe it has. Look at over the years how God has blessed this country. And yes, we've gone through struggles. Yes, this country has made a lot of mistakes. Yes, there's been a lot of things that go on. Yes, the Civil War was terrible, and thankful that there were godly men who moved us beyond that. Yes, the Civil Rights Movement was a great movement in the 60s and needed to happen so there was equality for all people. And those of you who have traveled to other parts of the world know how blessed we are. I have a friend of mine, Chong Soo Kim, from China, and he says, "You big, rich Americans." When he was an orphan in the orphanage in China, know it and doesn't to this day know who his parents were. Was adopted by C.Y. Kim and his wife, Pat. On Christmas morning, guess what they got? A banana. A banana. He cherished that. I mean, he ate that banana. It's like, it was just so good. And when he first came to America, he went to the local Kroger store and bought about 5 or 6 pounds, and ain't every one of them got sick and can't eat bananas today. That's how rich we were. He was shocked. You could walk into a store and for, at that time, probably 39 cents a pound, buy all the bananas you wanted. You see how rich we are? Some of you that have traveled to Jamaica, and I've been to Haiti, and I've been to India, and Dave and him have been to Nepal, seen poverty at its worst. I've also seen signs of that in this country. I've been on the reservations in India, been in some places in the Appalachian Mountains. But at the end of the day, we are still a very rich and blessed country. You can read countless stories. During the American Revolution, George Washington was trapped on Long Island. He was outflanked, and they were desperate, and the only way to get out was the East River. There was a huge storm. The waves were up. They couldn't cross. They didn't know what they were going to do. And so you know what he did? He employed a prayer meeting. He got all his office together, and he got his men together, and they prayed. And you know what happened? The storm died. The waters calmed. A fog came in. He loaded his men in a boat, and a cool breeze just happened to come up and blow them at their backs, and they crossed the river. And when the British awoke the next morning, they'd escaped. Coincidence? Good weather men? Or divine act of God? I read another thing about during Operation Iraqi Freedom, the only answer as to why so few casualties took place during that war was because of the prayers lifted up by the families, the friends, and the churches all across America. In fact, during that time, there were more people killed in the United States due to crime than the men that lost their lives fighting for that liberty. There are countless stories about how God has blessed this great country. And I know God has birthed it. And I know God has blessed it. But there's one thing we really need to be reminded today. And that's God will blame us. All actions, folks, we have to be accountable for. Plain and simple. We have to be held accountable and will be held accountable for the things we do, not only as individuals, but as a country as well. In the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 43, Jesus had this to say to the Jewish people. He had these words that he shared that I think could very well hold true for someone like us today, a country in our situation. If you want to turn there for just a moment, I want to share this verse of Scripture. Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. Jesus said this, "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit." If our country continues to move away from God, we will be held accountable for it. Daniel Webster wrote this in 1821. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our prosperity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. I don't know if that was just as much a statement, or maybe it was a prophecy. I'm 56 years old, and what I've seen in the last 50 years, we have done more as a people to destroy the relationship with God in this country than was done for hundreds of years. In June 25th, 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that they removed prayer from our schools. I can remember as a first grader praying before we went to eat. It was not odd. It was not weird. It was not strange. It was something that we did. I can remember at all assemblies having prayer in school, but I remember shortly after this date, it wasn't but a few many years, most schools were not allowed to do that anymore. For 355 years, this country prayed in schools, but in 1962, a group of men decided, nope, it's not going to happen anymore. But even more so, in 1963, they removed the reading of Bibles in schools. Did you know that one? And now, as I am beginning to hear and understand from talking to Gideons, that they're not even allowed to go pass them out in schools anymore. And other places. In 1973, a revised humanist manifesto wrote this: "But we can discover no divine purpose or providence for human species, whilst there is much we do not know about humans are responsible for what were or will become, no deity will save them." And that's what we're starting to see across this country. That there are people that believe that there is no God and there's no God that'll save us, that man is on his own and man has to do it his own way. But that's not what this country was founded on. That's not what we find in Scripture. But it's this false type of teaching that's going on. We're starting to see this as a country being eroding in our school systems. Yesterday, I attended UK's football game. Now, I know it wasn't a great game, but there was a great event that took place. And what made it more special to me was the other day I was reading a thing that one of the ESPN analysts said that the Star Spangled Banner is a war anthem and should be barred from all sporting events. And I was glad yesterday to see at the University of Kentucky that all of these soldiers stretch from one end of the football field all the way to the other. And then as they were holding this thing, they began to come across the field, and the entire field was one giant flag. It was cool. Because that is not an anthem of war. It is a symbol. That song is a symbol about that flag, which is a symbol of freedom and liberty and the right to gather and to worship and to pray and give God Almighty the glory He deserves. And we do it under the guise of that liberty and freedom. I never fought. I never did. I never, fortunately for me, never had to go to war. My father was a veteran of World War II and the Korean War. I had one uncle in the Air Force, one that was in the Marines, and another that was in the Army. We had a good friend of the families that was killed in Vietnam in 1969. My daughter, when she went to the Vietnam War Memorial, took an etching of his name. Stephen Bechtel from Harrodsburg, Kentucky. They fought and died for our freedom. And yet, what we see going on in our country now is we've accepted immorality and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have removed God from schools and called it modern education. We've murdered the unborn at the altar of choice. And we've abused the poor and called it welfare. And folks, we got to stop this. It's time that people stood up, because not only will God just hold this country accountable, He will hold individuals accountable. The Bible is clear in Romans chapter 12 that you will have to give an account of God for your actions. And if you have stood by and done nothing, you're going to have to answer for that. I read a quote by Sam Adams that he wrote in the Boston Gazette in April 16th, 1781. And this is what he said. "Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is not making a present or compliment or to please an individual, or at least he ought not do so, but he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in society for which he is accountable to God and his country." I think for too long, people like all of us have voted our pocketbooks. We have allowed corruptible people to overtake the government. And I'm not just talking about one. There's a whole lot of them. And it's not about party. It's about people. It is sad when in our country, when we refer to politicians, we think all of them are liars. Well, what kind of statement is that to you and me? We voted for them. When I started preaching in the ministry several years ago, I got in a huge debate with some people at a prayer meeting because how I voted was morals. That's how I voted. Okay, maybe the man's not the brightest tool in the woodshed. He believes in God. He thinks abortion is wrong. He thinks prayer ought to be in schools. He thinks we ought to read the Bible. We should pray. What's wrong with voting for that guy? Maybe he don't know much about taxes. Seems to me not too many anybody else up there do either. They think taxes is something they're entitled to get from us. I don't know if you heard this week, but just as early as this year, the Pentateuch World History Book has 36 pages dedicated to Islam and its impact on world history. In that same history book, there is no reference of Christianity or Judeo-Christianity and its impact on world history. This book was adopted this year in Broward County, Florida, and I understand three more counties have followed suit. Now, maybe that's not a big deal. It's 36 pages dedicated to Islam and its impact. It's been altered as not to offend anybody who is from that faith. Now, if this is a free country, why can't there be a 36-page chapter about Christianity? And please, don't alter it so you don't tick me off. We cannot continue to stand by or with the words of George Washington will reign true. And this is what he said. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. If a Republican government fails to secure the public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect bad people to make and administer the laws.